September 26th, Sportscast. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, iTunes, and Periscope. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This show is brought to you by 12-1 Training. Get yourself in shape. For the 11th time in the Nick Saban era, the Alabama Crimson Tide are 4-0 to open the season. Alabama took care of business Saturday against the Southern Mississippi Golden Eagles, picking up a 49-7 victory. And to join us to talk to us about Bama is Justin Riley. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, glad to be here for yet another week, talking Tide football with you.
Justin Riley, they open up a great 4-0, solid. Non-conference games are done. What'd you think about this match?
Yes, non-conference games are done. The tune-up season is slowly coming to a close as Alabama will be entering a season of much stiffer competition, much to the delight of, well, pretty much everyone outside of the Alabama nation, because, as you know, Alabama has been under intense scrutiny for their lack of stellar opponents, to put in good words, thus far this season. But to me, I see it as a positive right now. Like I said, normally Nick Saban goes with tougher out-of-conference opponents to start the season. But this year, for whatever reason, call it fate, you know, he elected not to do so, which has actually played well to our advantage. Anyone who has been following Alabama football knows Alabama's had issue with injury, pretty incredible injury, as well as having several freshmen, young faces playing in key roles. So this has been just an absolute positive thing for Alabama as far as development and just trying to get things going in a positive direction. And this contest against Southern Miss was just another way for them to better themselves and the areas they needed to the most, you know, defensively as well as up front in the offensive line. One of the biggest things that stood out to me in this game was Henry Ruggs. He seems to be the, the most explosive wide receiver in our arsenal right now. Jerry Jeudy and Jalen Waddle, for the most part, have been relatively quiet, at least, you know, by their standards. And Henry Ruggs has exploded onto the scene, not only in the SEC play, but nationally. And he's just commanded the respect and praise of people everywhere. He was quite amazing. He had 4 receptions for 148 yards, 2 touchdowns. He averaged a whopping 37 yards per catch. I mean, that's just insane. Quite honestly, we'll even go ahead and say he might possibly be the best wide receiver in the nation right now. No slight to Jerry Jeudy, and some people may even call me crazy for saying that, but I'm just seeing a whole another level coming from Henry Ruggs thus far. And a lot of people actually foresaw that. You know, he had quite a lot of hype surrounding him coming into the Alabama program from high school. But I was very impressed with him. One of the biggest things for me is something that actually quieted my complaining for the past several weeks, and that has been Alabama's inability to run the ball. So 4 weeks in, we finally have a 100-yard rusher. That's really unusual for Alabama to have. You know, 100-yard rushers are something that's commonplace with Alabama. But this season, not so much. Well, Najee Harris finally broke that. He had 14 carries for 110 yards. Also contributed another touchdown through the air. Had a really solid day. And he also looked to me like he's playing with a lot more fire, a lot more intensity, a lot more drive. And that's one of the things that I really was concerned about with him here in the recent weeks. It looks like his performance against South Carolina really has ignited him, and it carried over into this past week against Southern Miss. So really promising there. The offensive line did play a little bit better as far as opening up running holes for our backs, and they seem to be getting a little bit of a cohesion now. We're not quite where I'd like for us to be yet, but there is some improvement, and with Deontay Brown coming back from suspension, that should make things a lot better as well. So that'd be one thing to watch. And it goes without saying, Tua Tagovailoa is just continuing to go off. He is continuing to show his legitimacy for Heisman contention. Second week in a row, he passed for 5 touchdowns. And to be honest with you, he probably could have passed for 7 or 8 had he been allowed to stay in the entire game. He was 17 of 21 for 293 yards and 5 touchdowns. Just another tremendous outing from Tua, and it's clear that he is the man of our offense, you know, of course, along with these fantastic wide receivers we have. Defensive side of the ball, you know, we're not quite where, you know, we like to be Alabama standards-wise, but there is some improvement, and you might attribute that to the fact that we played, you know, Southern Miss, but I'm not going to look at that. I'm just looking at the positives right now. At linebacker, Shane Lee and Christian Harris are continuing to be solid, continue to contribute. They look like upperclassmen, and they're just freshmen. So that really makes me feel a little bit better going forward, especially now as we enter conference play. The secondary seems to be solidifying themselves. You know, Xavier McKinney, Trayvon Diggs, and Patrick Surtain had a really good day as a collective unit, and I was pretty excited to see what they were able to do. And, you know, as we enter into the tougher part of our schedule, especially when facing a quarterback down there at Baton Rouge named Joe Burrow, that's definitely an area that we have got to be locked down on. So, but it looks like we're heading in the right direction. Anthony Jennings had a really good day. Seemed like he was in on virtually every play. He had 5 tackles. He had sack, tackle for loss. Just really, really looked good. Just really looked explosive. One thing that did stand out, and it seems to be the theme of Alabama, and the injury bug has struck again. Our kicker, Will Reichard, left the game early due to a lower extremity issue. Didn't really get a whole lot of detail about that. He had to leave. Joseph Bulbas had to take over for him. Did pretty nicely. Wasn't called in to duty as far as kicking field goals because, quite frankly, we didn't have to. And then one of the biggest concerns was DJ Dale, defensive tackle, left early as well. So that may be a concern. Looks like he will be a go this week, but it's something that needs to be monitored. Terrell Lewis did not play this past week against Southern Miss. From what Coach Saban said, it just was a precautionary move. He's been getting a lot of bumps and bruises, and they just really wanted to just give him some time to kind of heal before going into Ole Miss. But that might be a concern to NFL scouts as far as durability goes. So keep your eye on Terrell Lewis. But overall, I was very pleased with what we were able to do this past week, and I really like the improvements that I'm starting to see. Like I said, not near where we need to be, but there was some positive growth.
Unsurprisingly, the game was never close. Alabama scored the first 28 points of the game before allowing a touchdown near the end of the first half. There isn't much more to discuss from this game. The Crimson Tide did what they had to do, and their conference games are coming up. And the first is Ole Miss. What to expect? The Rebels beat the Tide in 2014 and 15 and came really close in 2016. Justin, what are your expectations for Ole Miss?
To be honest with you, man, I'm trying to forget those games. Definitely one of the least favorite experiences I've had as a Tide fan, especially when I moved back to the Mississippi area Man, I tell you what, Ole Miss fans are something else, man. If they can beat you, man, they never let you forget it. But I'm not here to talk negative about other fan bases. What do I expect? Well, Alabama is opening as a near 35-point favorite. So what does that say to me? Well, let's take a look at it. Like you said, you know, Alabama these past few years, other than the losses, have pretty much handled Ole Miss with relative ease. But if you put these past two seasons aside, if you look at it historically, Ole Miss always tends to play their best game against Alabama. There is an unspoken rivalry between the schools, more so about Ole Miss, because there is a distinct hatred from the school and their fans towards Alabama. There's great disdain that's existed for years. So they just seem to play at top form when it comes to facing the Crimson Tide. So what do we need to look at this game? Well, first of all, we need to look at the Rebels' quarterback situation. Matt Corral, he's thrown for 844 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception. His quarterback rating is not really that good. He's at 51%. But what you really need to look at right now in this past game against Cal, which really Ole Miss should have won that game. They lost on a poor call by referees, but we're not here to discuss that. In the past game against Cal, he suffered some bruised ribs. So not really sure what percentage he's going to be playing at or how limited his role is going to be. From what coaches were saying this past week, you may see both him and John Rhys-Plumley rotating, but there's not a definitive answer for that yet. Matt Luke and Rich Rodriguez have a plan in place for both quarterbacks. We'll just see what the game calls them to do as it goes. But as far as their offense, whoever the quarterback's going to be, they're going to be looking to wide receiver Elijah Moore pretty often. If you have not really followed the Rebels, which, outside of SEC and the Rebel fan base, you really don't know much about them. This past season, they lost 3 wide receivers to graduation and the NFL draft. Top wide receivers, Brown and DJ Metcalf. And that's a pretty big deal there. So they got Elijah Moore, and he leads all wide receivers with 380 yards and 3 touchdowns. And that pretty much is all who is catching. There is actually a 289-yard disparity between him and the second leading receiver, and that's Dontario Drummond. But they do have some talent at wide receiver. Just for whatever reason, Corral is not really looking their way. So, but this is a pretty much young wide receiver in core. So look at some struggles there. Scotty Phillips is going to be carrying the ball. He's probably one of the least praised running backs in the SEC just because he really doesn't get a whole lot of opportunity for that. He's really good, really underrated. So far he's got 362 yards and 4 touchdowns. Last season he had nearly 1,000 yards, and his carries are limited because they are primarily a passing offense. He's really good. And then they got Jerrion Ealy. He is a highly touted freshman. Actually gave up a pro baseball contract to come play for the Rebels. Pretty exciting. He's a very explosive runner, averaging just over 6 yards a carry. So if he gets loose, he may be a problem for Alabama, who has been giving up a lot of yards on the ground, especially on that left side. So look for the Rebels to exploit that. Now, if you can't block, you can't run. And that's a big problem for Ole Miss right now. They got a very young offensive line. Very inexperienced. It's very evident. Why? Because 4 games in, Matt Corral has been sacked 10 times. And when it comes to limiting big plays from opposing defense, the Rebels are actually one of the worst in the nation. They rank 96th in the nation in that category. So that should serve Alabama pretty well as far as limiting the Rebels and what they're able to do. Defensively, on that side of the ball, one of the biggest concerns for them is in their secondary. And if they're not going to be good in the secondary, that means a lot to Alabama with this talented group of wide receivers. They are the number one wide receiving group in the country. And the Rebels, man, when you're averaging or allowing 288 yards per contest and rank 114th out of 130 FBS teams against the pass, you need to be concerned. So this should play well into Alabama's hands. As far as we got to find some positive here on the defense, they're strong up front. Benito Jones and Hosiah Coatney are great defensive linemen for the Rebels, NFL prospects. They have a really good middle linebacker, Muhammad Sanogo. He had an amazing 2018 campaign with 112 tackles, and if he does the same thing this year, look for him to possibly make his way out of Oxford and into the NFL draft. Their secondary isn't very good. They do have a good do-everything back in Miles Hartsfield. He's played corner, nickel, and safety, which kind of tells you where the Rebels are in their secondary. They have one guy pretty much trying to do everything. So they're going to need some help, and this fully falls well into what Alabama's able to do best, and that's score a lot of points through the air.
Yeah. Pretty much where we're looking at, Ole Miss definitely has a better pass rush defense. The D can get into the backfield on a regular basis, and there's a good chance that this group will get to Tua Tagovailoa better than anyone else all season long. It's going to have to take something special from a Rebel defense that's been able to keep Memphis, Cal, and Arkansas from doing too much. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, Alabama has a power offense and looking at another win under their belt. This is not a strong Ole Miss that we've seen like the past couple of years, but they're a little bit in a transition phase, aren't they?
Well, they are. It's not that they don't have any talent there, but they're, like you said, in a transition phase. They've got a lot of young talent and a lot of positions, a lot of inexperience. Now, they will eventually get a lot better. Things will eventually start clicking. And like you said, this is going to be a very talented defensive front we're going to be going against. And Tua Tagovailoa is going to have that quick release that he has executed so perfectly thus far in the season to avoid any kind of negative plays against this defensive front. So he'll have to be the top of his game. But really, Alabama's offensive line is going to have to step up as well and be more than average. And be good, be next level, because, you know, they're good. Ole Miss is good defensively up front, but LSU is much better. So we got to have that progression going, and it starts this week against this good front. But, yeah, Ole Miss is a good team. Very young. Rich Rodriguez is calling the plays offensively, and look for him to start getting things going and showing a little bit more this week. With his skill guys. But Alabama needs to be alert. They need to not take this game lightly and be complacent at all. They just really need to go in there and put this game away pretty quickly. You don't need to let Ole Miss hang around.
Looking at the SEC games that happened this past weekend, Florida defeated Tennessee 34-3. That was not much of a match for Florida.
Not at all, and I'm kind of disappointed because, you know, I've said previously, man, this used to be a great rivalry, and usually the winner of this game had a lot more to play for, whether it was a SEC East Division title, an opportunity to play in the SEC Championship, as well as an opportunity to play possibly for a national championship. That was always seemingly on the line when these two met, but now that's not the case at all. And I really honestly felt that going into this game that Tennessee was probably going to be they play the best game of the season. And that was the complete opposite this past Saturday. You know, Florida was able to dominate them, you know, quite embarrassingly. And I'm just beginning to question the resolve of Tennessee's players at this point. Are they still buying in? Are they still just playing hard and playing and giving all they got to Coach Pruitt? Or have they pretty much just kind of called it quits already? I don't know. You know, Florida is a great team, or they're a much better team than Tennessee at this point. And I like the progression their offense has taken under the guide of Kyle Trask. I honestly felt like they are doing much better with him leading the way than his predecessor there. So I really like what I saw from them, man. Florida's playing determined. They're playing passionate. And, you know, the problems that existed in the early going are slowly beginning to disappear for them. And they're turning out to be a contender in the East. So I like what I saw from Florida.
Other scores, as we discussed before, Ole Miss lost to Cal 28-20. LSU defeated Vanderbilt 66-38. Auburn defeated Texas A&M 28-20. Real quick, is this Auburn team a force to be reckoned with?
Well, quite possibly. Actually, Auburn actually had A&M up, down large for a long part of that game, but A&M came roaring back. But the thing is, I'm just really surprised that A&M is not showing more than what they're showing right now. I thought they were going to be a much better team, and I also thought that, you know, those top tier games that they have scheduled this season, they had an opportunity to upset one of those teams, if not two. But I'm beginning to change my mind right now. I guess they're not quite ready for prime time yet. But then we still got a lot of season to play. Auburn, yeah, kudos to them. You know, they are beginning to show a little something. But my concern for them is, can they be a balanced offense? You know, they rely heavily on the run, and they're going to have to do a little bit more through the air to really be a serious contender. No one's questioning them defensively. They have one of the better defenses in the SEC right now, and especially up front, man. Got some NFL guys there. But great win for the Tigers, and that's to only boost their confidence going forward.
And they're now in seventh place. Mississippi State defeated Kentucky 28-13. Missouri beat South Carolina 34-14. San Jose State from the Mountain West Conference defeated Arkansas 31-24. Quite an upset.
Oh, come on, Arkansas. What's going on here? I mean, y'all need to get it together. I thought the Razorbacks would be a little bit more improved this season, but man, they're looking at finishing last in the SEC again. So they're going to have to figure something out pretty quickly. But Santa Jose State, come on, bro.
Another big matchup this weekend was Georgia defeating Notre Dame 23-17. What does this tell you about Georgia?
Well, they're a really good team. There's no question about it. You know, people were kind of ragging them a little bit just because they hadn't really played anybody of value up until this point. But, you know, say what you will, and it came to the big stage, they showed up. And also, kudos to Notre Dame. You know, they really were getting a lot of disrespect coming into this game. Nobody was giving them a chance at all. They didn't think that they're going to be able to stack up against this loaded Georgia team, and they did. They played them shout for shout, man. I mean, the game was, you know, was up for grabs until the very end. So it really showed a lot as far as Notre Dame goes. I think that they're a really good team. I think that they are worthy of, you know, where they are ranked, and I think they're worthy of high praise. Now, as long as they don't turn around and just drop something they shouldn't, I think that they have an opportunity to still have a good season, maybe even sneak back into the college football playoff race. But they're going to need some other things to happen. I mean, but both teams look great. Both teams really fought hard, and they fought through injury to some key players. Overall, man, it was the game of the weekend, and I got tremendous respect for both teams, but I think Georgia's only going to get better from here. And just look out. I don't see anyone really being able to hang with them in the East. Maybe Florida, and if they continue to get better, but that all depends on that offense and Kyle Trask. But for now, man, Georgia is the team to beat. They're the most impressive thus far.
Georgia is third in the AP poll. Notre Dame, this was the biggest game in their schedule, and I believe if they didn't win that game, their chances of the playoffs were dwindling. Ready for game predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Penn State at Maryland.
I got to go with Penn State, man. I think they're the stronger team. I think Maryland would have had an opportunity to possibly beat Penn State, but they just didn't really show anything at all against Temple, and I just saw a huge regression. And they're really not good off on the offensive line, and I just think when you're going to rush their quarterback, it's going to be a major problem. Penn State is a lot more talented, and I think they win this game.
Penn State is number 12. Number 21, USC at number 17, Washington.
Wow. This game is solidly a decent game to watch. You kind of want to see which one is actually going to be a decent team in the Pac-12 here. Because USC, they drop one to BYU, then turn around and win a big one against Utah, highly ranked Utah. So which USC team is there? Washington was highly touted, you know, for the Pac-12 this year, but then dropped one to Cal. So this is kind of a show us where you're at game for the both of them. But I'm going with USC just because, you know, the talent level.
USC upsets Washington. Northwestern at number 8, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, I don't see that being a contest very long at all.
Clemson at North Carolina.
Maybe over with in the first quarter, Clemson.
Mississippi State at Auburn.
I think Auburn will have a little bit of a letdown. I think it's going to be closer than experts think, but I'm going to go with Auburn in this one.
Auburn continues their streak. Texas Tech at Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, another big day for Jalen Hurts and that high-powered offense. Jalen will throw for 300 yards and run for 150, so it keeps going.
Virginia at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's going to win this one. I think this is going to be a lot closer than what it should be just because, Notre Dame is coming off of a very emotional game, a tough loss against Georgia, so they're going to be a little bit down and not really fire on all cylinders, but they're going to do just enough to win.
NC State at FSU.
Well, who's really going to benefit from watching that one? Anyway, Florida State wins. I just feel like they have the better talent.
Ohio State and Nebraska.
Oh, I would like for this to be a game. I really felt like Nebraska was going to be the dark horse in the Big Ten this year, but I'm not all too convinced yet. They played a tremendous game against Ohio State last year and actually had an opportunity to possibly upset them, but Ohio State did prevail. But this time around, Ohio State's going to win and a much wider margin.
Not many people are picking Nebraska for some reason. This could be the upset game that Ohio State usually loses to. I mean, I'm choosing Nebraska for the heck of it.
Well, I mean, it would be kind of good. I mean, isn't game day there this weekend?
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, it's kind of a head scratcher as to why they chose that game. But I mean, it would be worthwhile if it actually was a game, and you know, Ohio State lost. But we'll see.
Ole Miss at Alabama.
Ole Miss at Alabama. My game. Well, Alabama, I feel, is going to be the victor. The biggest thing for Alabama is continue to improve. For the love of God, keep everybody healthy. No one else needs to get hurt. I want to see that offensive line continue to gel, continue to get better, establish some good chemistry and continuity there. I need the defense to really show up as well. I need the Rebels shut out. But I feel like Alabama is going to win this game in Tuscaloosa pretty handily.
5-0 Alabama. NFL, Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens. Rivalry.
Ooh. This should be a decent game. Although Baltimore lost last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, a very worthy opponent, and to be honest with you, even though in a loss, the Ravens really showed me a lot because they were down big and they came roaring back and actually could have won that game. So that says a lot about where they are right now. They're a much better team than last year. The Cleveland Browns, you know, they're not living up to the hype. They're not living up to all that preseason praise just yet. And I think the players are hearing all that, and they're getting frustrated. I know it's frustrating Baker Mayfield because he can't keep his mouth shut. But maybe if he actually focused on his game instead of, you know, talking about other folks, they might do a little something. But is it going to be enough to beat the Baltimore Ravens? I say no, and I say that Marlon Humphrey will shut down OBJ. Baltimore wins.
Baltimore wins. And tonight, Thursday Night Football, Eagles at the Packers.
Eagles at Packers. Man, I got to go with the Packers, man. They're doing something special in that defense, and I don't think the Eagles are going to have a nice day against them. So I feel like the Packers are going to win. Matter of fact, I'll say the Packers will shut them out.
Packers shuts out Philadelphia. And random question of the day, who will most likely be the number one pick in next year's NFL draft, Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert?
It will be Tua Tagovailoa.
And a Twitter poll has him at 70% to Justin Herbert's 30%. So looking good for Tua. The poll is still continuing on. Justin, how can people reach you online to talk to you about Gardner Minshew?
Man, the Minshew mania is growing more powerful in greater numbers, isn't it?
And you predicted it like the first weekend. He was the rookie that impressed you that weekend on week one.
Absolutely, man. And to be honest with you, I think that once Foles actually heals up, there may be a little bit of issue there. Foles may not start. You know, I love Nick Foles.
If Gardner goes six in a row winning or eight, there's no doubt that he'll be the starter.
There's no question, man, and he's not playing like a rookie right now. He's playing with a lot of confidence, a lot of poise, and, you know, in critical situations, he's not making mistakes. And, I mean, we're only in the early going of the NFL, man. He's already an icon, man. He's one of the most recognized players in the NFL this season.
Which he doesn't even need Jalen Ramsey.
No one needs Jalen Ramsey. I could have a whole podcast about my feelings about him and his antics, but we're not going to do that. But if you want to talk some Gardner Minshew mania, the mustache that supersedes all mustaches, you can find me at 121 training. That's number 12, one spelled out training, on Twitter as well as Instagram. Also, too, I'm one of the main folks that actually runs our Twitter account at the SportsCast1 and on Instagram at SportsCast1. So you have multiple outlets to find me, and I welcome any conversation.
And there you have it. Also visit us on the SportsCast1 for the latest news and updates in college football, NFL, NHL, and, of course, college football and soccer. And, of course, we'll have tomorrow. We might not have a show tomorrow, but maybe Kailu on Saturday. We'll definitely continue some Big 12 football talk and possibly NFL. And of course, this weekend, a couple few games last weekend was heavy. This weekend, not as heavy, but it is heavy. USC, Washington, and of course, Ohio State, Nebraska, a couple of games to watch. And of course, we'll be live tweeting throughout the weekend. Anyways, Justin Riley, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Well, one little program note, Santiago, before we go. I may or may not be live tweeting for the Alabama game. I actually have a powerlifting competition that I will be in this weekend, and depending on when it's over, it will determine, you know, when I'm able to jump on and make commentary on the Alabama and Ole Miss game. If I'm not able to do it in the first half, you'll definitely see me in the second half. So those of you who join me pretty regularly each week, just be advised about that. But great being here another week, man. Enjoyed it.
No pressure, no pressure, because, hey, when has Ole Miss ever gotten into this trouble?
Back in 2014 and 15.
And almost 16. Anyways, have a great day.
You too. Roll Tide.